So Courtney talked to me earlier, reminded me of something. We were watching Dr. Oz, and they were talking about sleep stuff, like sleep disorders and kind of stuff like that, and ways to sleep better. And they show this person dancing while sleepwalking, and then Courtney one night got really drunk, and she sleptwalk, and she walked outside, slept in a bush, and I hear this knock on the door, I'm like, what the fuck's that? So I go, open up the door, Courtney's butt-ass naked at the door, and she's like, just got this surprise look on her face, and she comes inside, and 2 seconds later, my mom comes out at the porch at the top of the house, and I was like, what the hell is that? And I was like, oh, Courtney sleepwalked, she just came inside. It's like, she was 2 seconds away from seeing Courtney butt-ass naked at the front door.
Draw your sword, knock your arrows, and ready your spellbook. It's time for another episode of The Games. What role will you play?
Greetings, guys, gals, and guildies, and welcome to episode 67 of The Gamesmen. Games that hit or play roles, and I'm going to play a role of your host. I am Amherst89. With me today, I got some special people here, man. I got Mr. Harley Dan Natman from The Gamesmen RPG. And I got Mr. Teflon12 from somewhere in the Milky Way. Commander, how are you doing?
I still think mine was better.
Everyone will hear it in the end. Anyway, Jason, how are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm doing okay.
Kids are duct taped to the walls?
No, they're just playing. And I'm totally not playing Elite Dangerous while we're talking.
Ah, so that's why you keep going a bit Skypey now then.
Well, maybe. No comment.
You're going to have to get off for a new segment, because you got to talk.
Fine. I'll just browse the Skyrim Workshop.
Well, how's your week been, Jason?
It has been okay. It's filled with lots of flying throughout the Milky Way.
We'll get into that a little bit.
I haven't really done anything too special. Went to a birthday party for my mother-in-law's, I guess I could say for my little sister-in-law. They adopted her, and she's a special needs child. See, her birthday was this week, so we went to the birthday party, I think yesterday. So, yeah, that was okay.
Cool.
Good food. Something like that. Nothing else really been going on this week.
Well, Dan, how's your week? Actually, Dan got a special announcement.
Have I?
It's special, I would say.
Oh God, you're not pulling a Seth, are you?
Well, I guess my mum's out of hospital, so I guess there's that.
She's home. Oh,
yeah. Damn, has she become demanding?
I can see Dan at her house just with like a nurse's outfit on.
Yeah. You know that they've done it loads of times. They did it on the Golden Girls. They did it in Friends. They've done it on everything. Where there's a sick person and they've got a bell and they ring the bell whenever they want some help.
Mm-hmm.
Mum just phones my mobile. I can be asleep at 4 a.m. Phone goes off. It's like, oh, I need time. It's like, oh.
The perks of living in the digital age.
God damn it. There are times I wish I didn't have a cell phone. But other than that, not a huge amount. Monty went to a groomer's and came back nicely trimmed and washed and groomed, and apparently behaved himself very well until like the last half hour when he started getting annoyed because he'd had enough. He's like, ah, I've had enough of this. watching some TV. On Steve's recommendation, I watched Daredevil.
I have also been watching Daredevil now.
I need to watch Daredevil.
I haven't told you that, Dan. Courtney and I watched first four, right, Courtney? We've watched three or four, I think, maybe. Yeah, we watched three.
Yeah, it just feels like four, right?
Well, they're very long. Yeah, there are long episodes, so what, like, actually, no, they're longer than a normal, like, hour-long episode. They're like 52 minutes or something like that, an episode.
Well, that's not an hour.
Well, no, like, if you would count a commercial or something in there.
It's a Netflix series. You shouldn't have to count commercials. That doesn't make any sense. It's not on Hulu.
Well, still. It's good so far. He hasn't even put on his suit. Yeah, it's really good. I heard the Everyday Gamers they were talking about in the second episode, the hallway scene. And I really like that, how, you know, everything... is just filmed in the hallway, and like you hear people getting beat up, you know, in other rooms, and shit's happening, shit's breaking, and then, you know, they come back flying in the hallway, and he's already beat up or whatever, and it's just, it's, you know, how he does his stuff, and yeah, I like his martial arts kind of stuff.
It's pretty cool, and it's filmed well, but I'm not so sure I'm getting into the story so much. I mean, I've seen all the episodes, and I'm like, oh, you
watch the whole damn thing, damn.
I'll see the next season when it comes out. But
they did clear for another season, didn't they?
I think so. Yeah. So
I have so many TV shows I have to catch up on. Yeah. I still need to watch all of Constantine. I have recorded.
Oh, I forgot that had a TV show. Yeah, Courtney wants to watch Agent Shield, and I kind of want to watch it just because of, you know, the next Avengers movie comes out Friday, right? That's the first. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Actually, it's then because I know this weekend I think the plan is my mother-in-law is going to watch the kids for me and Sarah to go out and watch Avengers for our anniversary, because our anniversary is on the 17th of May.
How many years?
That's not a good sign.
He delayed a little bit there.
I have to do the math. So it's like this will be 8 years, 7 years, seven or 8 years married. One of those two. It runs together after a while.
Oh yeah.
Jeez, I've got socks older than that.
I have to keep my voice down. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, Corey and I's three years is next June. Or next June, next month. Well, after this month is over, this week.
How about just?
It's in June. Yeah, I thought it was May already. It's crazy.
Okay. Well, yeah. Other than that, some stuff that I bought, which I'll talk about when we get on to gaming and stuff, because it's about an upcoming event that I'll be going to. So, Gary, what have you been up to?
I bought stuff too. I'm going to talk about now. I bought another Blue Yeti, yay!
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 Give me your old Blue Yeti.
I'll just give you the new one.
I don't need a Blue Yeti.
Unless you're going to be on this podcast every week. Then I'd send it over, no problem. But Radio Shack was having a going out of business thing. I was talking to my mom, we were in the mall, and I was like, let's go in there. And picked up some headphones for her. Well, we picked up a bunch of little things, that had like 6% off, all this stuff. And then I saw a Blue Yeti sitting there, and I was like, it says $130. It's 40% off. What is that? $72? Oh my god, I'm gonna get it!
That's when I bought my Titanfall headset, I saw it on sale. It's like $150, I think it is, for this headset. And I saw it on sale at Toys R Us for, not Toys R Us, at Target for like $80, $70. So I knew I had to pick it up then.
Yeah, like, I picked up the Blue Yeti. I was like, yeah, if this one ever shits the bed, then I have a base. Well, it's going to be brand new because I'm not taking it out of the box for any reason. So I have a brand new one I can replace it with, you know. Or, say, I text Steve, I was like, yeah, if you need a, you know, you're gonna be on a podcast, I got a mic for you. No fucking excuse. But yeah, like, I was like, there's just no reason I shouldn't get this because it's, I'm not gonna get it this cheap ever. So I just, you know, picked it up as a spare, or, you know, maybe I do something where, I don't know, a second person's over here. Well, I mean, I could do the other thing where we both sit at a table, or, I don't know. Yeah, I just picked up to have, make sure. Also, I picked up a lot of clothes at Gander Mountain because they had shit like buy one, get one, and all this stuff. And
it was not how it normally works.
What, pick up stuff because it's cheap?
No, you buy one and you get one.
Yes, buy one, get one free.
See, then you're getting two. You're not getting one. It's buy one, get one free. Just buy
everyone
one, get
knows
one. That's
BOGO.
Just normal.
All you need to say is BOGO.
It's
buy one, get one is the BOGO. Bug off. Damn it. I hate you, dude. But yeah, they had like, buy one, get one 50% off. That one I have to say. Dan. And then I was just buying a bunch of clothes. They're all nice. I'm wearing a nice shirt. It feels all sexy and smooth and stop shaking your head, Courtney. And, just picked up a bunch of stuff. Did crazy housework. Snow's been outside all day. She is dead right now. She's like not moving. But yeah, like just, so much work outside today. So much sun. It was such a nice day out. It was great. Cut down another tree this week. working outside, crazy stuff. So, let's get into the games. We'll start off with Jason, because he's got the shortest list, but we haven't heard him talk about it on the podcast.
I've only been playing Elite Dangerous.
Elite motherfucking Dangerous.
Are there other games? Do other games exist? I don't think there are other games exist. That's the only one. Just Elite Dangerous. That's the only one there is.
Space! So what have you been up to in Elite?
Have you been enjoying it?
I have. I have to thank you guys for both taking me out and showing me how to bounty hunt.
It's a good way of making money, isn't it?
It is. It's a good, quick way of making money. What my plan is to bounty hunt and totally outfit my Viper. And then once I get my Viper fully outfitted, I'm just gonna start stockpiling money, buy myself one of the bigger ships that I can outfit for trading and, maybe some exploration stuff. I might get an Asp.
If you're gonna do a big amount of training, definitely Type 6 will be your first one to go there. It's only, what was it, Dan? 1.6 million? Or
yeah, it's not much.
Yeah.
I was looking at one earlier thinking, I can buy that.
Yeah, I got up to over a million this week. And then I spent it, and then I had to buy a couple things for the Viper. And so now I'm back down to about, I think I have 600,000 right now. 600,000 credits.
Yeah, I'm sitting at 2.5 million right now.
I tried never to go below my buyback, and my buyback right now just hit like 104,000.
We need to teach Rogue that.
That's what we, and the funny part was about when Rogue died was we were just talking about it. Like, is it below my buyback? I was like, oh, I never go below my buyback. And he's like, so I need to be careful. And then all of a sudden, bam!
Yeah.
He said, that's it. I quit.
Yeah, for now, him, like, he went and, well, he said he left the landing pad and, like, got hit by someone and then goes flying to the side of the station and just dies.
Yeah, he got hit and then, it just knocked him into the side of the station, and it just said hull was at 0%, and it needed to eject. But anyway, like, I got a new frameshift drive on my Viper, and, so I thought, well, I need to test this out now. And so, I jumped to the Imperial system since the only thing around us are Federation and Anarchy systems, mm-hmm. or Free systems. And so I jumped to Liaden, and it took about 6 jumps to get there. And I found some cool stations on the way. I found Chapman Terminal, that they have 12 ships in their shipyard.
Yeah, nice.
Okay. Yeah, including they have a clipper there. So that, I thought that was
cool. Ooh.
And then I found that pirate station I was telling you about last night, Gary.
Mm-hmm.
That was flying the pirate flag.
Yeah, I was telling Ben about one of those whenever I went to Magic. I was looking for a place for Rogue and I to go around, because he was determined to find something with like high, what was it, like
high tech?
High tech, yeah. And I was like, I went there, and yeah, they had one of those pirate stations. I love those things. Just the holographic skulls floating around it. I love that shit.
Yeah, that whole red and white color palette for the skulls.
Mm-hmm.
It looks, the pirate stuff in Elite looks really cool.
Yeah, it just really sucks if you're in a massive ship, because you can't land.
Yeah. Yeah, those places, you can't do anything.
Yeah, but even those big stations, the big polyhedrons, it must really suck to be flying a big ship trying to get through that little mail slot.
It's not that bad.
Yeah. No, we haven't had, like, a gigantic ship yet. That'll be fun.
Yeah, I would really like to get an Anaconda. And land one of those.
Oh my god, an Anaconda. Well, first you need to get like 100-something million, so.
Oh yeah, there are a lot of money. Back.
Yeah. But yeah, we got fucking months, maybe a year before we get that far.
Speechless. Yeah, right.
Well, you're still outfitting your vulture, right, Dan?
Yeah,
and I don't think you're gonna sell that thing to buy something new. You're gonna keep that one.
Yeah, I know, but I can make a couple of million in like an hour if I'm lucky. So that's fine.
I just need to play more.
Yeah, I need more time. I wish I had more time to play, but it's okay. I deal with what I have. I think I'm gonna play around in Unity or Unreal this week. Because I really bolster my portfolio, and so I was thinking about making working in there and trying to make kind of like a world like you would see in like an MMO or a large role playing game. Mm-hmm. They have like a forest over here, and this is the mountainous region, and over here is like a mushroom swamp type deal. So some stuff like that.
Some Minecraft.
Something like
Mushroom
Minecraft.
Biome.
That's really all I've been doing this week, though. All I've been playing this week.
Cool. Well, Dan, what have you been doing? Other than mom sitting.
I haven't played a huge amount. Yeah. Been, you know, fetching and carrying and stuff. Obviously,
sounds
I've
like
been
a
playing some Elite Dangerous. In fact, the first thing that happened when I got on today, Rogue was like, Dan, I'm gonna need your help.
He's like, I need help.
It's like, what? I have like 1,000 credits and I can't do anything. I can't even buy any weapons. I was like, okay. So I bought 16 tons of gold and gave that to him, which got him to 100,000. But then we went bounty hunting, and I think he's all right now.
Yeah, he had like 400,000 or something.
I tried to help him out a little bit last night with the money I have, but he was like, no, Dan's sitting on 500 million credits.
at the time, it was only 3.8 million. So, but yeah. I've since upgraded more bits and got back up to 3.8 million. So, yeah, money's not hard to come by. Grand Theft Auto 5. Been playing a load of that. Absolutely loving it. I think I'm quite near the end of the story, so I'll be playing it online soon. Because after a quick conversation with Lee the other day, it seems like I'm coming up towards the end. And
no, I got to that. I guess it'd be using the helicopter and submarine heist.
Ah, that was great fun.
Yeah, I did that, And how far do you think I am in the story? About half?
I guess around there, yeah. I mean, it's really profitable, that one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, it looks fantastic. It's great fun. Yeah, the music's pretty cool, as I said last week. And, yeah, still really enjoying it. I keep switching between first and third person mode.
I only did that, like, twice.
I every now and then, if there's, like, a big shootout, I switch to first person mode.
Yeah, I think about that, too. It's like, this probably worked better in a first person view.
Yeah, and I quite like driving now and then in first person.
See, you're that racing kind of guy person. I'd rather be able to see behind my car and see everything around it.
Yeah, you don't need to see behind your car when you're going forwards.
Well, I mean, like, to the sides.
Other than that, yeah, random crap on my phone. There's a Fast and Furious game that I picked up for free. I can't remember what it's called. Let's have a look.
Fast and Furious.
FF Legacy, it's called. I guess that's Fast and Furious Legacy. It's a fun little racer. It's got drifting, it's got street racing, it's got drag racing.
It's got crazy action that can never happen in real life.
And you can, well, yeah, and you can race against other people. And it's got a really annoying time gate, though. If you, after you do, like, five races, you've got to have an oil change, and that takes 2 hours. So,
What world do they fucking live in?
Yeah.
My oil change takes 15 minutes. I've been doing it myself.
I picked up Connectimals, because that's on Android. Just to have a little play with it.
Does it have anything that would work with Kinect?
I didn't realize they put Kinectimals on mobile.
Yeah, yes. Well, yeah, you just kind of have this cat and you play and train it, and I've stopped playing it now, to be honest. It's just taking up room. Still playing Trials of Frontier. There's been another update to that, so there's a lot more places I can go and visit. Yeah, having quite a lot of fun playing that, and the CSI game that I've been playing for ages that no one joins me in, because they're assholes.
I don't play phone games, like, ever. I have so many of them. I know, but, like, I have, you know, I have all these phone games, and I just don't play phone games. I'm, like, the complete opposite of people that say, like, yeah, 3DS and Vita are dead, or, you know, console, I guess, what would it be, console handheld or something, like, you know, compared to a phone handheld game. I just like playing it on those systems better.
And a game I used to play years ago, Alien Breed. I don't know if any of you remember that. That's an old game. Yeah, pick that up. And what else? Oh, tons of stuff. SimCity Build It. I'm not really enjoying that so much. But Where's Wally and Friends? That's not too bad. It's kind of self-explanatory, that one, isn't it? I guess Where's Waldo for other people.
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask. Is that like a Where's Waldo game?
Yeah, it's exactly that. And Puddle, which is really nice. But you don't tilt the phone unless I've not got the settings set. You'd think that, you know, you touch the sides of the phone to rotate the screen. Now, it's a phone. I can move it myself. Why can't I move it myself?
That's if I'm thinking it's the same game, Puddle's on, like, there Wii U and maybe so on everything.
I just put it onto an accelerometer and now I can use it. Just by tilting the phone and not having to touch it. So, I'm an idiot. You can do that.
I know on the Wii U, like, that, you know, you tilt everything to make it go.
Yeah, Puddle's it's pretty cool. I've got this one, I'm on the level with the Weed Killer.
I have not played it, but I've been wanting to get it. Just for fun.
Yeah, it's a nice game. It's a nice, the fluid dynamics bit is basically what the entire game is about, and it's quite nice way of showing off how well, you know, phones and things can actually handle you know, fair dynamics, which is pretty damn cool. But yeah, that's about it for playing stuff. I picked up a handy dandy little OTG cable for my phone for EGX this year. And it gives me, now where the hell is it? I had it just here a second ago. It's powered, so that'll help the battery life, because I found out the other day that my Yeti works with my phone, so that's cool. So now instead of taking all the power from the phone, it'll take it from, well, I'll have to find a wall socket and plug it in, but it's got what, 3 USB connections, and it can take 4 different types of memory card. So that's going to be really freaking handy. I could even plug in a keyboard and mouse and you know, type some stuff whilst I'm there.
Cool. So,
yeah, that's kind of cool. So I'm hoping to give that a good go. Unfortunately, it doesn't charge my phone at the same time, which is somewhat annoying. But there might be a way around that, but I don't want to break it. Mind you, it didn't cost very much, so I could always buy another one. So yeah, that's about it, I guess. So Gary, I see you've been playing something that I haven't touched for ages.
Yeah, well, starting off right before, getting on the podcast, we were waiting for Jason, so I just picked something really quick that I could just do for, you know, a few seconds at a time and stuff. Super Hexagon. Nobody's played this game forever. that I've seen. But yeah, just, I got up to 60.
Super Hexagon?
Yeah, Super Hexagon.
Okay. Thought I heard that right.
Do you not know what Super Hexagon is?
Yeah, I do. It's just an old game, so I wasn't sure if I heard you correctly.
Yeah, I was just trying to find someone while we were waiting for you, and yeah, picked it up. You know, I figured, okay, it's something I can, you know, pick up, do for a little bit, throw it down whenever we're all ready. So I picked it up, got to like 60 seconds, and then fucked up. Yeah, that's really it. You know, trying not to die, I guess. Grand Theft Auto 5, like you said, play more of that. I am no longer Mike to try to fix his relationship, man, for reasons. damn it. Minecraft, doing a little bit more of that. Courtney's just, I think, finished making her library. It's looking cool. Doing a little bit of that. I fucking completely finished Rogue Slime Farm, like I did that all legit. He's like, you don't have to legit. I was like, it's supposed to be legit. It's a legit server. Rah! So, yeah, did that. It was a crazy 4-chunk area, which is like 64 blocks wide by like 64 deep. I don't know. It's huge. And then Elite Dangerous, of course, did that. Help Rogue out, getting some monies, helping him upgrade, find places, doing all this stuff, and then he loses ship. Then Dan helps him get it back, or well, helps him get settled so he's can keep going. But yeah, and then, like Jason said, you know, going out bounty hunting, having some fun, awesome times. I'm killing so many people. Hopefully, we should get a full wing after we're like, you know, people have their ships fully upgraded and take on one of those missions. Have some fun with that.
I you did know, just the other day.
On like your own?
Assassination mission?
Yeah, like one of those.
Yeah, I took out an Anaconda on my own the other day.
Nice. Rogue was all happy too. He took out a Master on his own. He was like, yeah!
I took out an Anaconda by myself too, Dan.
What, yeah, this is in one of those assassination crazy missions.
Or at a resource extraction site.
Oh, just as a resource extraction site. I didn't do one of those missions because I would get slaughtered.
Yeah, and those missions, they're like very, very kitted and crazy. And
I don't have a cannon on my ship with 17-inch guns.
But other than that, Mario Kart 8, DLC came out, played with Steve and Casino, and Lisa was on as well. That was weird. I didn't think she played any games. but yeah, played some Mario Kart. It was great. The new courses are really cool. I really, really enjoy them. They're, what was the one? Oh, we played 200cc, which is the new thing came out. I can't drive. I hit every wall everywhere. That shit is so fast, I just can't do anything. It's something that's gonna have to get used to, but wow, that shit is crazy.
200cc is really fast.
Yeah, it is stupidly fast.
I can only imagine coming off some of the hills in that game. You must be flying for ages.
Well, I don't think we did anything with hills, but just corners are so bad. Because you gotta start turning quicker, and like, I'm not turning quick enough, and I needed to get used to it because it was only the first time we did it. But I was hitting everything. I was screwing up so bad. But it was a lot of fun. Crazy shit. Casino beat me with a few shells and got ahead of me and dropped me. I was in like second place or first place, something like that. And he hit me with a few shells. And then I just got raped after that. I got hit with everything and I dropped down from like first to sixth in seconds. And I couldn't come back from it. I was so mad. And then after that, go ahead.
Let's see, I really need to get my Wii U fixed because I really want to get in on all these Mario Kart 8 races you guys have.
Yes, it's great. But, after that race, we're near the end of a race, and Casino was right ahead of me, and I was like, oh, look, there's a red shell right here. And I fucked him up, and I got ahead of him. I was like, screw you. And then whenever we got in the lobby, and I could talk to him, he goes, that show is for you. Oh, so crazy. I love it. But really, other than that, other than those games, that's really it. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with some news. We're back, and it's time for some news, and we're going to get Dan in with the first piece.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure if this is Hillary Clinton trying to get people to, gamers to vote for her, or just clickbait for GameSpot, one of the two. I'm not entirely sure, but a photo has arisen from the early 90s, I believe. 93 on a flight from Austin, Texas to Washington, D.C. And she's photoed playing a Game Boy, obviously the original Game Boy, because it was 93.
Fatty. Yep.
Apparently, in an April 1993 interview with Time, Hillary Clinton joked that she was addicted to Tetris. She said, I've become quite a fan of Game Boy. Became really addicted in hospital, she said with a laugh. I'm going to seek treatment. So, yeah, she's a gamer. So, yeah, that's a reason to vote for her.
Addicted to Tetris, just like my mom. That's the only game my mother could ever play, and she always called it Tetris instead of Tetris. I think it's a little of both. I think it's clickbait. Them trying to get some clicks out of it. And I think she's trying to, like, the younger audience, they play the video games.
Oh my god, person that can be president plays video games? Yeah!
Oh my god, it's only everybody plays video games now.
Show her with a fucking 3DS and I'll be like, yeah, look at that.
I wouldn't call being addicted to Tetris, I mean, her being a quote-unquote gamer. I mean, yeah, it's a game, and she enjoys playing it. That's great. But, like, my mother plays Tetris. I wouldn't call her a gamer.
Yeah, she's probably playing Bubble Witch or one of those other...
Farmville. She's been on Farmville.
She's played Democracy 3 on Steam.
So yeah, apparently there are loads of gaming outlets posting this, what is it, 23-year-old image? I guess...
20.
This year with a Game Gear. That's what I want to see.
I need to find my Game Gear game so I can actually play it again.
I can't play mine because the screen is so bad.
Oh yeah, and a crap ton of batteries.
All we used to play is Road Rash.
Oh, I love that.
Was that on the Game Gear 2?
That was on the Game Gear.
Huh.
Some version.
There was a Game Gear 2? Anyway, that's about it, really. Hillary Clinton once played a Game Boy.
Maybe she still plays them. Maybe she doesn't know how to do other games.
If that's your reason for voting for her, then you probably shouldn't be voting.
Yeah. Wow, she plays games. Voted!
I don't know. She's not a GOP candidate, so... not being a GOP candidate is probably reason enough to vote for her.
Yeah, I mean, what I mean is there are other more important reasons to vote for someone. Whether or not they play video games. Anyway, what's up next?
I hope so. Well, next is, Steam's not gonna let you do stuff unless you spend $5.
Woohoo!
If you haven't spent $5, well, apparently you really like free-to-play games.
Yeah, or you're one of those fishing bastards.
Yes. Basically, this is saying Steam's not letting users who have not spent $5 to cut down on the people that are, like Dan said, phishing. They say malicious users often operate in the community on accounts which have not spent any money, versus an individual risk of performing the actions they do. And if you have not spent said $5, you cannot do the following, which is send friend invites, which would be nice because of all the people that have been fucking adding us lately. Yeah. I actually haven't had one in a couple of days, so that's nice.
I got one for a day.
I've gotten a few after probably at least like 10 over the last month. They're saying send friend invites, open group chat, vote on green lights, Steam reviews and workshop items, participate in the Steam market, post frequently in the Steam discussions, so apparently I can post every once in a while, I don't know. Gain Steam profile levels, no, and trading cards, submit contests on Steam Workshop, post in an items Steam Workshop discussion, access the Steam Web API, and use browser and mobile chat. So, yeah.
I'm okay with this, because...
Yeah, I am really happy with this.
Anyone who uses Steam, who really uses Steam, is going to spend at least $5 on
Steam. Yeah, if you haven't spent $5 on Steam and you've been on it for, like, more than a year...
You're not doing it right, or your phishing account.
Yeah. You do not like to buy cheap games.
Well, the other bit in this article, which is really important, and I stress everyone should do it once it comes out of beta, is that they're adding a mobile authenticator, so you can have two-factor authentication on your account, which you should do that.
That's the same thing like with Blizzard stuff, right, where you can set up your mobile for...
Yeah. Yeah. Making sure that it's actually you trying to log into the account rather than someone else. So
that could be well, not, it's only another step, but be more of a pain for people doing friends and family stuff.
Yeah, but yeah, no, it's
only fine. Another 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Damn those 2 minutes.
Damn them. But yeah, I am definitely pleased with this because the amount of like requests I've had, there were times I've had like 3 in a day.
I have not had that, but that would be like stupid.
Steam level 0. Account smarts is private.
I'm sorry if you're a legitimate person that wants to add me, but if you're Steam level 0, you're not getting added unless I know your name or whatever.
But yeah, there was one that I thought someone invited me the other day, and I thought I knew it, and I actually sent him a message to check that it was him. And luckily it was, so that's cool. But he still hasn't spent his $5.
Ah, horrible. Well, that's it for that. Yeah, what's next?
Steam. Yes. Again, more Steam. They are charging for, well, making it possible for people to make money from mods. It used to be the only way to make money from a mod was to make basically a standalone sequel or remake, or B, use it as a portfolio to get hired by a studio, or C, back in the pre-broadband days, shovel it onto a CD-ROM and sell it. But as of last night, the other night that changed, mod makers can now charge for their work via Steam. Loads of people are complaining about this because, you know,
mods are more of a, I would say, love letter to something that you play and you really like.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. But I guess, you know, there's just a lot of sniffy people saying, oh, I don't have to do this. Most of the downsides actually relate to Steam itself. Because Steam tend to just chuck new ideas into it just and see what happens. And they don't always take an active hand in managing things, which millions of people use Steam and they look at it. So, you know, they don't really help that much. I mean, just look at Greenlight and Steam curators. They still seem like they're cobbled together, you know, not quite ready solutions to problems.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's also a bit of a concern that they're bringing more PC gaming under their roof, which you could argue is a bit of a monopoly. And obviously they're going to be making some money out of it. But, you know, then there's also the plus side, which, you know, if people are actually making decent mods that people are willing to pay for, then why not? You know, it's going to motivate people to make stuff, make it better and get compensated for it. It also potentially could create more routes into game development that don't involve signing your life away to a big studio or publisher. So that's kind of cool. But yeah, you know, it's interesting. But recently, Gabe Newell, took to Reddit when they were talking about this, thing, and about the reasoning behind the move, because a lot of mod authors worry that their creations might end up being ripped off and then sold for. And addressing concerns that the pay model corrupts the modding community, Newell said that Valve's goal is to improve modding both for the authors and the games, and if something doesn't help with that, it will get dumped. He's also said he believes it will be a win-win situation for modders and gamers, and they are going to add a pay what you want option for modders who prefer to accept donations for their work, much like the Nexus mods do, the mod community there. So, you know, if you don't want to pay anything, you don't have to. If you get it and you're like, actually, yeah, that was pretty good, I'll, you know, send them $5 or something, then you can do that.
I like that a lot better, where you can pay if you actually want to give money to somebody.
But yeah, there are already some mods on there that are stupidly expensive.
Funny reasons as well.
Yeah, I think Jason, you read one out earlier, didn't you? Was it $99?
Oh yeah, it was $99.99, and it added nothing to the game.
No, I made what's her name? Linda or
Lydia.
Lydia, that's what it is.
Lydia. That's right. What did it add to the? I can't remember.
It makes her 25% stronger and stopped her talking.
75%.
That's right.
Poorer.
That's right. And I know there was one on here that they were talking about the other day on the Overseas Connection podcast. That it was there's a mod that is it's either on the Steam Workshop or it's on the Nexus mod website, the mod Nexus. I forget what the actual name of the website is, but I know Nexus is in there. But it adds an NPC that sits on a valve outside of Whiterun, and her name is Beth, and she seems to have, you know, like she's fairly well off. Like she wears nice clothes and has, you know, jewelry and stuff like that. But no matter how much you talk to her, she's always asking for money. That's one that's been put on there for protests.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think about this whole paying for mods thing, Jason? Being a bit of a budding game developer, trying to get into the industry.
Well, mods are always good to have in a portfolio because it still highlights some work you can do in a game engine and in a game, really.
Yeah.
Mods require a lot of work, and I think I like the idea of mod developers being able to make money because making a mod takes lots and lots and lots of hours of work. Because you have to script it, and if you're making, it depends on the mod you make, but you have to use models. Sometimes you have to make your own models. You have to learn how to script the stuff in the engine if you want stuff to do what it's supposed to do. I mean, it takes a lot of work. I mean, look at Richard Webster. He has over 1,000 hours in Skyrim Workshop.
Yeah. He's crazy. He had, the hunting mod or whatever?
Hunting
Guild.
Yeah, I actually just downloaded that before the podcast. Hunting in Skyrim, it adds a hunting guild. And he's got all kinds of stuff in there. There's a new perk, and I think an item, and quests, and ways to skin what you're hunting. But yeah, and I love the idea of modders being able to get paid for all that work. But it's always existed on like a donation system. And I'm not sure, like I'm not even 100% sure what I think about it. I know it has really torn the modding community. It's really had a profound impact on that, and it's a shame to see that, you know what I mean, that they're kind of split. I mean, I would love to see modders get paid for all that work, but on the other hand, I mean, it is still a mod. You know? And Bethesda technically owns the rights to everything that you put in there.
Indeed.
I think I would love to see it still on a donation system, but maybe at like a donation slider that Humble Bundle has. I think that would be a good way of doing it. But I mean, there's no clear answer for how the situation should work out. I mean, I'm looking at mods right now that this is a mod for a sword. It's 49 cents. I mean, 49 cents is nothing, but I mean, there's other weapons you can get for free. You know, this set of armor looks really cool. It's called the Shadow Scale set, but it's $2. I mean, I'm sure it's a great armor set and it looks really cool, but I don't want to pay $2 for another piece of armor.
Yeah. You know? That was a cool thing about mods. It's like, oh, I want this really cool thing somebody made. And I really like the, you know, pay what you want thing because it's like, oh yeah, I really like what this person did. They're really creative or whatever. I'll give them a few dollars.
Yeah, at least you can try it before you decide to give any money away.
Yeah. And you see, like, on Humble Bundle, like, some people will fucking, you know, give hundreds of dollars for something instead of, you know, the minimum. Like, you may get someone who really likes your stuff and they'll just give you money. So next up is, Elder Scrolls Online. Dan's favorite thing in the world. it's coming to Xbox One and PS4, finally, after horrible, horrible delays. But, yeah, it's gonna be in beta, in June, and they're gonna bring it out, and people are gonna be able to play it, test it out on there. And the biggest thing about this article is the download size is fucking huge. Just for the beta, which apparently gives you the whole world, to play around in or whatever, but you're gonna have to do other stuff to get places. At least how I saw from the beta. It's gonna be over 65 gigs just to download to play. So be sure to download that early.
Oh, yeah, that's hopefully you don't have a cap on PC your PC gamers, but you know that's what over.
Well, when you have a hard drive that's 500 gigabytes, and that's almost, you know, that's getting close to taking up, you know, not a tenth, but a 20th of your hard drive.
Yeah, especially after the OS, you know, that takes up a huge amount on the PS4 and the Xbox, come to think of it.
Well, I can tell you right now, there's not 65 gigabytes of free space on my Xbox One. And I'll probably delete some stuff and download this and try it out on the console. I mean, I played in the PC beta a while back, however long that was ago, and a year and a half. And it was okay. I mean, it wasn't terribly great, but I'll give it a try out on consoles.
It felt like a chore to me.
It definitely doesn't feel like an Elder Scrolls game, because I tried doing what I normally do. Or at least what I was doing in Skyrim is I generally go the stealth archer assassin, which that was really popular with Skyrim, but fucking that's the way I like to play in it. And so I went with an archer and stealth character, and it plays like an MMO, you know, like, you know.
Yeah, it can't really be cool stealth.
But it's still shit.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I should have tried it again whenever they had the free weekend on PC, but I didn't. I may get it eventually, maybe if I can find it cheap, since I don't have to pay monthly anymore, but if I'll ever, you know, beat the game or play it enough, I doubt it. Let's see. The beta begins on Thursday, the 23rd of April, which has already happened. It's just closed on the 27th. So, I had this early in the week, so it doesn't really matter for people, but there's going to be another one, sometime. I can't remember where I saw that, but I saw it somewhere. This one at least was like, not everyone's gonna get in, of course, like a regular beta. If you have played the beta on either of these, let us know. But I'm sure they're gonna have, because it comes out in June, I'm sure they're gonna have a couple more, betas going on before it's actually released. So, we'll see. I mean, God, I don't even remember how many betas they had on PC before they released it. It was like 5 or 6 that we saw. Cause they were testing out all the servers and everything.
It was quite a big number, if I do believe. It was like 5 or 6 betas, I think.
Yeah, so I'm sure they're going to have more. You'll be able to try it out. Just make sure to sign up if you do want to try to get into it. I believe M-Board, he seemed to be into it. He was still playing it, and he was playing whenever, you know, he had to pay monthly and all that stuff. So, you may like it.
Guardian played it for a while.
Did he?
Yeah.
I didn't think he did.
No, I'm pretty sure that was Garywin who said he had played. He said it was really all he really wanted in MMO. He said he enjoyed it. I don't know. You have to talk to him and ask him.
Yeah.
He normally has a few friends that he plays MMOs with and everything too. So yeah. But that's really it for that. Let's go with the next one, Dan.
Yeah, well, one game that has been in early access for what feels like forever, it's about to leave. Kerbal Space Program, the next update will see the game leave early access and reach version 1.0. Philippe Flange, wrote on the blog, as developments in the beta has progressed, one thing has become very apparent. Kerbal Space Program is about to reach a state in which every single one of the original goals of the game has been reached, and we can say that our original design document has been fulfilled. So, woohoo. It's going to be there. It's going to be complete, but that doesn't mean they finished with it. Basically, just because it's leaving early access doesn't mean they're they're ready to call it a complete game. Far from it, in fact. They're going to continue with free updates, you know, 1.1, 1.2, and so on. But because this is a release update, there's going to be quite a lot of stuff, which I'm going to read through very quickly now. First off, new drag model. They've redesigned the way drag is calculated and now takes into account things such as part occlusion, facing, and they've got rid of the calculation being based on part mass. There's a new lift system, so they've corrected the lift, so it's now properly a function of the square of the velocity, not linear, which allows for more effective and accurate wings. There's an aerodynamic stability overlay, which is part of the UI, which shows you the stability of your crafts as you build them, so you can easily tell at a glance how airworthy or not your design is, and see the effects of any changes as you build. There's also going to be an engineer's report, which is a new panel in the in the two bits. I had no idea what they mean, which basically will warn you of crucial and frustrating issues in your design, such as lack of fuel tanks, engines, or landing gear, among many other advanced concepts. Time warp, you can, if you fumble with a time warp, it no longer messes up your burn times. With the new feature, you can choose a point along your orbit and the game will take you there as fast as physically possible. There's deep space and planetary refueling. They're adding a new system as a set of parts that allow you to collect matter from asteroids and other bodies, then process it into useful things like fuel or oxidizer. If you're careless with your funds and reputation, you might find that you no longer have a job at the space center and it is game over for you. Landing gears, there are much larger Mark III parts, so they've got much larger landing gears and, yeah, larger wings to go with Mark III crafts. Kerbals can now clamber over small obstacles and out of ladders and onto flat surfaces because their job wasn't really dangerous enough. Female Kerbals, a long time in the making. There are finally going to be female Kerbals in the game, so people can stop bitching about that. There's a whole rebalance of the economic systems, so strategies, part costs, contract payouts, they all need to be fixed, and they've had a much needed balancing pass. Part stats have been rebalanced, new contracts, new tier zero buildings, they've overhauled the sound, and a ton of long-standing bugs are being fixed, which means I should probably actually pick this up again. Well, but actually pick it up, because I only played it when it was on the free weekend and I enjoyed it. No, I only played the demo and I rather enjoyed it. So I'm looking forward to it. Huge list of stuff there. Go and check it out. And I had a lot of fun when I was playing the demo. So you can always check that out. It's going to be good. I like space games. Yeah. Anyway.
Couldn't tell.
What's up next?
Well, next we have Assassin's Creed creator Patrice Desilets announces Ancestors, the Humankind Odyssey. I really hope I said his name correctly. It seems French, so cares. I tried to make it. Mm-hmm. It's better than I usually call Dillisets or something. Anyway, the ex-Ubisoft creative director and Assassin's Creed creator Patrice Desilets has unveiled the first details of his new game, Ancestors, the Humankind Odyssey. Desilets made the announcement alongside a brief teaser trailer while speaking live at the Reboot Develop 2015 conference in Dubrovnik. I can't say that one either.
No, you got that one right.
The teaser video recapped various moments in the history and evolution of mankind, rewinding back from the present day to the dawn of civilization.
It's kind of like Age of Empires.
Yeah, it's the first project from his new company, Panache Digital Games, and that he set up after he was fired from Ubisoft back in 2013. Let's see. It's supposedly focused on short, episodic-ish AAA games. Apparently this is supposed to be a some type of survival episodic game. I think that's what I read. Yes. A third-person action-adventure survival episodic game, so take that for what you will. It's supposed to relive the greatest moments of mankind with a documentary-style twist.
That sounds really quite cool.
I'm interested to know more, but I can't say that I'm committed to anything yet.
Mm-hmm.
I might have to watch the teaser for it. I watched the show.
I watched the teaser. It's a leaked from a conference, and the teaser's really not all that interesting, honestly. At least not the video that comes with the article. I would wait until there's another video up. I mean, you can check it out if you want, but
no, I'll
wait. Doesn't really show anything other than words and like one, like it looks like a screen cap of a jungle with like a primitive human that you can see the silhouette of.
But I'm interested. I'll keep an eye out on it.
Yeah, it's something to keep an eye out.
I mean, like the whole Age of Empires stuff too. Like, you know, going from one like Stone Age to I think they call it Iron Age and all that stuff.
Hmm.
Yeah, yeah, it said but, third person action, so I assume something along the veins of like Assassin's Creed.
Of course. but yeah. So next up, we're gonna go into some Nintendo stuff because we love Nintendo here. I love Nintendo here. Nobody else does. But yeah. So for some fucking reason, Nintendo is surprised by the success of the whole Amiibo brand and all this stuff that they've been doing for
They're not too bright over there, are they?
I swear to God, they got the mind of a child. I don't know. This whole thing.
We're so surprised you like these things. We just now got all the emails about the shortages.
Yeah, really. So here they say, right from the outset, we hoped that Amiibo would be strong, but even our expectations have been smashed. No, you're just fucking stupid. You should have seen after the first wave selling out and all these other Amiibos going out of stock in the first day. They need to, like, at least do, like, 10 times the amount they did launching them to meet expectations, hopefully, that people won't buy them all in the first fucking week. It just makes so angry.
I'm glad I'm not interested in Amiibos.
I'm not interested in Amiibos for their functionality. I'm interested because I have always wanted Nintendo toys and little figurines of different characters that I love. You know, that's like, I love having that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's such a chore to try to get the one, like Captain Falcon. I wanted to get one for my brother for Christmas or something like that. I couldn't find that thing. You know, after the first, I don't know, I think it went maybe a couple of days after they released or whatever, and I couldn't find him anywhere, and I haven't seen him anywhere since. He's gone. I can buy him for like $40 or probably more than that on eBay. And I don't want to buy him for that much. I want to buy him for his cost. Normally. And I hate scalpers. I hate all this shit. Courtney knows this guy or whatever. She had him as a friend on Facebook, or has him, and he's like, yeah, so I got this Gold Mario Amiibo. He had two or whatever, and he's like, yeah, if anybody wants him, $25. I was like, and Courtney's like, you want him? I was like, no, you fucking tell him he's a fucking dick, and he should give it to me. Or, well, she, you know, he asked for $25. I was like, yeah, you tell him I'll give him $15 because I'll give him the $13 that he cost and $2 for holding him for me.
This whole Amiibo situation stinks. Well, the whole Toys for Life situation in general, but especially the Amiibo situation with all the shortages and people doing all kind of stuff to get a hold of them. It just stinks of Beanie Babies back in the 90s.
Yeah. Amiibo is terrible. Like, the Toys of Life stuff, you can't say anything for Disney Infinity and Skylanders, because, like, you can get that shit everywhere, all the time. you're not looking for it, hell, GameStop even has pre-owned ones that you can buy.
Just wait for LEGO Universe.
And I think they're going to stock them with no problems. Like, I don't know why Nintendo didn't, quote-unquote, see that this wasn't going to sell. They are the biggest fucking company for memorable characters ever.
This is true. This is true.
And to not see that people are going to buy their shit is just dumb. I mean, if they're looking at, oh, the Wii U has this amount of, you know, sales out there, so we're going to stock for, you know, we'll put out enough for everyone that has a Wii U. People aren't getting it just because they have a Wii U or, you know, a new 3DS now that can actually use it. And they're also putting out the little adapter for the older 3DSs, that you can put Amiibos on and everything now. Like, it's because it's Nintendo. It's a toy. It's something they can have. They have Mario and all that stuff. Like, yeah. But some people, like Captain Falcon, say, it's like, I loved F-Zero back in the day. I want to have him. It's, why do they not, how did they not see this stuff? Like, you can get any, like, I don't know, is there nobody in Nintendo that just understands, hey, yeah, there are tons of people that really like, playing this game, or, you know, you look at the sales of your game back in the day. This sold, like, I don't know, 5 million overall. Like, hey, we should I probably didn't sell that much. But, you know, we should probably put out a ton of these. I don't know. It just makes me angry. Anyway, we're gonna do this. They also said, we hope to do a better job of satisfying these needs in the future with more stock. And while there are always going to be sometimes when we can't, on certain characters, I suspect that is also part of the appeal. Don't make not being able to get an appeal because, god damn it, I hate it. Really hate it. And then they also say, the demands of Amiibo sales. Oh, wait, sorry. I don't know. On the demand of Amiibo figures, seen demand exceeds supply in some areas. Yeah, almost all. Going on Nintendo Oki and stuff like that, one guy put up a picture from where he lives or whatever. And I think it was over somewhere in the UK or something. And, like, they had a wall of Amiibo and it had, like, all of them. And I was like, why? I can't get any of those here. There are at least, you know, two or more on that wall. And I was like, come on. Like, it's funny because, like, I didn't want to get them all. And then, like, I kind of want to get them all because I love everything Nintendo anyway. Like, I had Courtney go out to get the Super Mario series because, like, nobody's going to fucking have, you know, like, especially Toad. And stuff like that, like, well, I pre-ordered Toad, but, like, I was like, god, is, you know, people gonna fucking buy all these up? I'm not gonna be able to get ones that I want. So, like, I had Courtney go out and get them all for me, because I had to work and all this stuff. That's the other problem, is, like, I can't get shit while I work. I can't go on the internet at 3 in the morning, I'm sleeping, or I can't go on the internet at 10 or 2 or whatever stupid time they decided to put it up. Because, like, I'm at work, I can't, you know, I can't just sit there on the internet all day refreshing and, So let's stop talking about Amiibos, let's talk about something else.
Okay, well, something else. Gears of War turns 10 years old next year, and, obviously the first game of the series was released on the 360 and then ported to Windows the following year, and it seems, what with the multiplayer screenshots and other bits and pieces of proof, that Microsoft and Black Tusk Studios are developing a remastered version of the original Gears of War for Xbox One. So, yay! For Gears of War fans. I don't actually really give a shit.
I have a friend that works at Black Tusk Studio.
Yeah. Well, apparently the re-release will include updated visuals, reworked cutscenes, courtesy of Animation Studio Plastic Wax. Apparently it's going to run at 60 frames per second. Hey, no idea.
Is there anyone else, like, why didn't they do all three and not just the first one?
Well, you know, perhaps they just want to work on one at a time.
Yeah. Also, the first one was really popular. The third one, in my opinion, was the best one. But I really enjoyed the first one as well. I played so much of the first Gears of War whenever I first got a 360. Like, I was playing that shit all the time. Always online multiplayer.
Well, apparently, UK developers Splash Damage are working on the remasters as well. That they had several job listings saying that they're working on a very well-known and a highly popular AAA title with next-gen technology. It's not next-gen, it's current-gen, you bastards. And apparently some people have seen that there are some multiplayer screenshots of the remaster. And apparently it features improved lighting, increased texture quality, and runs at 60 FPS. So I know there'll be a lot of excited people out there that are happy to buy the same game again. So good for you guys.
Nicole will be excited.
Falling into the trap.
Well, going from, because I played Gears 4 2 before I played Gears 4 1, which, like, I never do that stuff anymore. But I was young back then. Going back from 2 to 1, man. 2 was horrible. 1 was horrible compared to 2. Like, all the stuff was just so bad. And then it made it so much better on 3, but 1, you know, they were just getting their footing and everything, but wow. I would like to see it remastered and they do some good stuff with it, but what? I can't believe they just didn't put all three into one, like Halo Master Chief Collection.
Well, Rod Ferguson, in March said that they are working on other exciting Gears projects, which is obviously plural. Again, I guess we'll know more at E3, so.
Which probably. We'll find out then. Probably means that UK Studio is working on the remaster, and then up in Vancouver where Black Tusk is, they're working on another Gears game, a brand new Gears game,
or just the PC port, maybe.
Well, they can't do much more with, you know, after Gears 3. I would like to see, I can't remember what they called it. Oh. It may be G-Day or something, but, I can't remember what it was. But, you know, seeing the beginning of the Locust outbreak and everything, that would be cool.
Talking about E-Day, Emergence Day.
E-Day, that's what it is, yes. Yes, E-Day.
Man, can I just get a Mass Effect trilogy remastered? That's all I want. Just a Mass Effect trilogy remastered. Come on. Come on, EA. That's all. How many times do I have to ask you? Can you please give me Mass Effect Trilogy?
This is the gas bar on every fucking console he has.
Platform. All of them.
just mod it on the PC.
Just want to play. I just want Mass Effect 3 multiplayer to be popular again so I have people to play with.
Oh, bless.
I could play it. So, I mean, I have it and I got it for you.
Yes, but you bought it in Russian.
You could change the language. I'm pretty sure you haven't tried it yet.
You're going to watch the video and then guide me through it because I can't read Russian.
That reminds me, we watched Iron Man 2 a little bit ago. It was like, I don't know if you know this, but I can't speak Russian.
You bought it from CGS CD keys, didn't you, Gary?
Nope.
But they quite often sell Russian versions of games.
I was joking. Yes, I bought it off there.
Yeah.
It was cheap. Okay, I got a cheap version.
Of course it was cheap. It's in Russian.
I'm not spending full money on Jason.
What are you talking about? You were going to buy me Dragon Age 2 and Inquisition in December.
Well, thank your wife for doing.
Apparently, right?
Maybe, I don't know. I probably would have got off agreement. I don't even know where I got mine from.
Well, anyway.
Oh, wait, never mind. No, I got mine from Chopstick. Thank you, Chopstick.
Anyway.
Still played it.
Moving on. Before this gets heated anymore. The NSA has made a coloring book for kids. That's right. The NSA. You heard that correctly. It's the National Security Agency.
Oh, good. I didn't know what that said or meant.
Yes.
Or the No Such Agency.
That could be it, too. The book is called America's Crypto Kids, Future Code Makers and Code Breakers. It tells the story of a team of talking animals who, when they're not spying on you, spend their time shredding on the guitar or playing friendly games of lacrosse. Also while spying on you, of course. This thing is incredibly... What's the word? Lame. Features characters such as Sergeant Sam, CSS representative, natural born leader with an eye for excellence. He guides the kids through cryptologic fun. Cryptology is code breaking, just so you guys in the audience know. Jules, an engineer, a burst of energy. She's quite the innovator and loves to shock her friends with new ideas. And then there's Slate, mathematics. This MC, in parentheses, math caper, is no square. Juggling numbers in the air, no doubt he's one cool hair, because obviously a rabbit. Yeah, those are just a few examples of the crypto kids.
Yeah, I love the way the NSA are just trying to make it for the kid, you know, to get a whole generation just to be happy that, you know, that they're being spied on. It's like, yeah, let's forget about the parents. Let's target the children. Make them love us.
Yeah, it's pretty scary.
It is. Right. It's, yeah, there's a Cypher Dog as well, who, apparently is reading Cryptophile Monthly whilst he's got some kitty porn on his laptop.
Who'd have thought the NSA would try to be cuddlier and more friendly? The new fluffier outlook, apparently.
Yeah, the new kid-friendly. The NSA is cool.
Please don't think about the fact that we're watching you. Please forget that.
Apparently, the most prized giveaway at this expo, at the RSA conference, was a faux leather post-it note kit, which had the agency seal. And next year, they're going to make the seal even bigger. The kids will really like that, like a badge to show their friends at school. So yeah, it's kind of nuts. It's a little scary, I think. But yeah.
Just a little bit.
Anyway, next.
Just a little bit.
The last bit of news.
Yeah, the last bit, the sad bit that I'm sad about because yeah, I really wanted to play it. Silent Hills, you know, that thing that was PT demo that showed off that it was going to come out and all stuff. And then, of course, this fucking all this Kojima news and everything. Apparently, the game has been canceled and you're not going to be able to get it, and Dan found out for me that the PT demo is going to take down on Wednesday, so I said to Steve, download this shit now, I need to play. So, I will be playing the PT demo, and thinking, well, this game is never going to come out now, and it's going to be scary. Well, and
this news basically comes from a tweet from Guillermo del Toro, saying that it's breaks his greasy heart that it's not going to happen. But basically, he was referring to his collaboration with Hideo Kojima when he said it's not going to happen. So I guess it means the game could, in theory, still be in production. But
now, is that breaks his greasy heart? Is that from him? Because I just thought that was a joke.
That was from him. But with the kind of removal of it, of the you know, the teaser from the store. It's kind of...
kind of saying, oh, this is never coming out now.
Yeah, and alongside, you know, Kojima saying at the San Francisco International Film Festival that survival horror is dead.
That doesn't seem like something he would say after teaming up with them and stuff. It's like, you can't say that.
Oh, apparently, you know, It Breaks My Greasy Heart was actually from an attendee at the panel. So it's a shaky source, but...
That's pretty funny still, though. Breaks My Greasy Heart. Have you ever seen Guillermo del Toro?
Yeah.
Sounds like just another craptastic thing in the ongoing saga of Konami versus Hideo Kojima.
Well, it's actually the second game with Del Toro's involvement to be cancelled because THQ's insane. Never saw the light of day.
Yep.
Yeah.
That poor guy, he must think terribly of the game industry after all this. The second time in a row.
People have been trying to, you know, obviously get a comment from Konami, but nothing has happened yet.
There's nothing going to happen until after Metal Gear Solid, The Phantom Pain comes out. Continue to hear rumors and stuff like this. I guarantee there won't be anything official said until after that. And then, you know, after that comes out, who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm tempted to side with Kojima, but you never know. He could be the problem in this case.
Yeah, but if Del Toro's not going to be involved with it, is it going to be the game that everyone wants in the first place?
Exactly. You know what I mean? And then, like, it's like, even if, say the worst happens and Kojima leaves, you know what I mean? If Del Toro and Kojima, neither one are involved with it, and that IP sticks with Konami, you know what I mean? Nobody really is really going to want...
Oh, it's going to be terrible after that.
Yeah, it'd be the same thing if and when they try to continue the Metal Gear franchise, you know what I mean, without Kojima. The whole thing in the middle of this is all about Kojima. This all follows Kojima.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The people who loved those games and the people who were looking forward to Silent Hills know that Kojima's attached to it.
They like seeing Kojima's name in it.
Yeah. They're not just fans of those franchises, they're fans of Kojima. You know,
it's like being a fan of an artist, you know. You like because he's a part of it.
And granted, there are lots of people that work on those games, but you know what I mean? They always say Hideo Kojima production. Mm-hmm. They've wiped that stuff off there. I mean, it's going to make people talk, and it's going to make people, you know, if you just look at search Hideo Kojima on Twitter, you find all kind of stuff for people, and most of them are after Konami.
Yeah, I think we talked about this a decent amount. So yeah, we're going to take a little break and we're going to be back for the TGM quest, checks, all that crazy stuff. So we will be back in a little bit. We're back, and we're going to get into Quest of the Week. So, we asked, what anime do you want made into a video game? And we got more responses than I thought we were going to get. And I thought there were more than these two. I swear there were more.
Well, I had one in there, but I deleted because I'm on the show.
Well, you can say yours last, then. Danny, take first one. I'll take second.
The first one was from SuperLobster06. He says, "Out of the game's an RPG, I'd love a Cowboy Bebop game where you cruise around the solar system trying to collect bounties."
Yes. Yes. 1,000 times. Yes.
Yes. And like I said on Twitter,
in a long time.
Yeah, and I saw on Twitter, like, I am 100% behind that, because, like, Elite Dangerous, Cowboy Bebop, that would be amazing. It's, anime style, you know, oh my god.
Pretty much what I do in Elite Dangerous, so yeah, I'd play that. Never seen the anime, but fire flying around in space, yeah, I'll do it, I'll play it.
Yeah, it is a great anime. One very good one to get people into anime. If you haven't seen it, you should probably see it. Very cool. And next one is from Jason Slifelike. He said, I love some Otomo goodness with Steam Boy as a third-person action game in the vein of the two Maximo titles. Brilliance. Jason, why don't you take yours? Since it's yours.
I'd actually love to see a good Gundam game. There might be a good one out there already. I don't know. But I have not yet seen a good Gundam one. Also, the Cowboy Bebop idea is awesome. And in my opinion, Dragon Ball Xenoverse is the best anime game I've ever played.
Yeah, for Gundam, I would think that a good one out there so far is the Gundam Warrior game. I can't remember what they called it.
You talk about the Dynasty Warriors Gundam?
Yes, yes. Where you're fighting, you know, Gundams and shit in that style. That's pretty cool.
Have you played it?
No, my cousin has, and one of my friends, he plays. Basically, my cousin, our one friend, plays it. And they said it was really good, so.
I might have to try to pick up one of those on Amazon for $360.
Yeah, apparently that one's a really good one. Just, yeah, I mean, killing Gundams and all that kind of stuff. It would be very cool. I mean, it seems like a good fit just because it's Gundam and all that fighting kind of stuff. It's definitely Gundam style.
Yeah, especially when it comes to taking out the smaller mobile suits.
Yes. Other than that, we're going to ask next week, were you looking forward to Silent Hills? Because I was. I really wanted to play it. And I made Steve get the PT demo before it got taken off so I can play the demo. Hopefully it doesn't take off because I don't know if I'm going to get to his house this week. But I really want to play it and see what the whole demo is about because people are saying it's so scary and all this stuff.
I feel bad for people that were excited for it, but I don't play horror games, so that's just me.
I do, so yeah. I guess the PT demo will have to do for me. Next off, we're going to get into TGM checks. Jason, you take the first one.
Alright, well, the first one is from @GamerGirl27, and she says she's played Dragon Age Inquisition and Gears of War Judgment, #TGM check.
I'm guessing there have been people that she's wanted to play with.
Probably.
On Judgment.
Probably, and, you know, she's been playing Dragon Age Inquisition for about the same amount of time as I have. I don't think she's finished it yet.
Months of Inquisition.
I really got to finish that.
Yeah, I've got to start that again at some point.
Yeah, we'll start together and we'll play through it, something like that.
I'm sure I'll start it again at some point.
Of course you will. And I guess I'll take next one. Natural79 says Dying Light, Diablo 3, Lego Batman 3, Dragon Age Inquisition, and Rayman Legends.
Well, the next one is from Einhander. And yeah, sorry about this. We kind of got him into Elite Dangerous, and that's all he's been playing. So yay. #TGMcheck Elite Dangerous. Yes.
And watching. He's watched a lot of YouTube videos. We had a It was like today and yesterday, I think it was, like we were just talking about the whole, what was that, Dan? Dreadnought or whatever, you know, the whole thing we watched, the Twitch stream of, when they first announced it and it like comes in the distortion and oh my god, it looks crazy and amazing.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was called, but yeah, it was the huge Imperial ship, it, the kind of thing that launches it. It's kind of like, you know, Battlestar Galactica. It's that kind of size, with loads of ships coming out of it. It's nuts. So, looking forward to seeing them.
Yes. And Jason, you got the last one.
All right, the last one is from at JSS Lifelike, good old Steve Conger, and he says, hashtag TGM check, more Daredevil, finish Trailer Park Boys Season 9, the Bruce Jenner interview, a ton of Dragon Age, Mortal Kombat, or MK8, oh, Mario Kart 8, 200 cc's, and Captain Toad with Amiibos, so.
No, he's packing a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah, I got him that Toad Amiibo. He put that on in Mario Kart 8, so I'm with his old Toad hat on and everything, and probably using it on Treasure Tracker.
I hope he's serving up Gary huge heaping helpings of blue shell.
No, because he's always in first place, so he's the one getting blue shells.
I'm not surprised.
I'm never in first place. He's really good at Mario Kart. But, yep, other than checks, you're getting shout-outs. Jason, you guys shout-out.
I want to shout-out you guys for having me on, Rogue Outlaw, for, I think I was on talking to him during two deaths this week, so that sucks. Shout-out to Ben for hanging out with me in Elite Dangerous. And shout-out to Hideo Kojima and Guillermo del Toro. Hopefully it works out better for you guys next time.
There was another shout-out in your TGM check that we've not put in because you're on the show.
Well, I did say it earlier when we were doing his games and stuff.
Yeah, no, there was that bit about a huge shout-out to a certain Gary Lever and
huge shout-out to Harley Dan and Gary Lever, the fine, fine hosts of the Gamesman podcast, for teaching me how to hunt bounties in Elite Dangerous.
Yeah.
And for getting me into the game anyway. And another huge shout out to Rogue Outlaw for getting me the game. Does that sound better, Dan?
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah, and if you want help getting into Elite Dangerous and you get the game, look us up. We'll help you. We love helping people get into the game and play around and kill people and all that stuff. It's fun.
Although also, I will get bored after a while and go out and just earn more money on my own.
That's what I tend to do. And also shout out to Dan's mom. Welcome back from the hospital.
Yeah, she won't be listening.
That's okay. You can tell her.
Yeah, I will be. As for me, my shout outs this week, obviously Jason, you finally great to have you on the show. Absolutely brilliant. The guys over at VG Hub, go and check them out. There's a ton of content over there, loads of podcasts, some like ours, some others. If you like video games in any shape or form, you're probably going to find a podcast there that you like better than this one. So go and check them out. And of course, to my mother, who has come home and has yet to phone me up this evening to say that she needs some medication or something. So that's good. I was expecting a phone call halfway through this podcast and it's not happened. So, yay.
Probably better finish this because she's going to be calling in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, I just want to throw another quick shout out to the Overseas Connection podcast for reading my trivia every week. I think I'm going to have some very special ones coming up because it's been about 6 months since I started.
It's been that long?
Yeah, it's been since November.
Wow. Holy crap. You should totally do more stuff on our site.
I really should.
Because we love you more. Boss me. So, for my shout-outs...
Seth!
Even though he's been on the last two podcasts, so he's definitely not stepping down. He's just not doing all the work. Steve, why are you not doing that? You're not doing all the work?
I'm starting to think it's a publicity stunt.
More people listen. Steve and Casino for the Mario Karts, everyone that was already announced for Elite Dangerous. And I'm gonna say M Board because I see you on solo, but you're not playing with us, so, you should probably say, hey, I want to play Elite Dangerous to help me kill people. or something. Watch me watch it. I don't know. I don't care. Play Elite Dangerous with us because we love playing with other people. And the world. I'm going to shout the world because we haven't had Mr.
Come on, you can do it.
Oh, it starts with a Y.
Come on. Fuck. Come on.
Yuri. That's what it's
known as Excalibur.
Yuri Excalibur, yes. I couldn't remember, and I was like, oh, God. Or these nuts in your mouth. Oh, God. We need to get Yuri on. It's been too long since we've had Yuri. So, yeah, we definitely need to do that stuff. Yeah, on that, shout-out's awesome. We're good. Everyone's good. We love people.
These nuts joke. Welcome back to 2001.
I don't know when he made them. Yeah. So, Dan, what where we come? Where are we going to find you?
As ever, I am Hardly Dan pretty much everywhere. Best way to get in contact with me will be via Twitter, because I'll probably be doing stuff, and if I'm playing a game, it's either going to be GTA 5 or Elite Dangerous. That's probably going to be about it, unless I pick up Farming Simulator 2015, which I'm really tempted to do. I don't know why. But yeah, Steam everywhere, Hardly Dan. Nice and easy to find, unlike some people. Anyway, Jason, where can we find you?
You can find me on Steam, Twitter, and Xbox Live. It is Teflon12 everywhere. TEPHLON12, because I know how to make a name that nobody else picks.
Mine shouldn't be that way. I didn't think it'd be some other people would use, okay? MSA9 is fucking Twitter, Star Citizen, Elite Dangerous, Unreal Tournament, if somebody... Come on, we need to play more of that. I did good on Instaskip. Amherst_9 is Steam. Amherst1289 is Nintendo Network. And Minecraft, Origin as well, but who uses Origin? And then Amherst0289 is PSN. Dan, let's get this shit cleaned up.
Right, well, if you want to get in contact with the show, there are loads of ways of doing it. First off, there's Facebook. Just go and check out the Gamesman podcast. We've got some stuff there. We put stuff up occasionally. If that's no good, you don't like Facebook, let's face it, you know, less and less people are using it. You can always, you know, ring us up if you live in the States, and you can call the RPG hotline. The number is 412-267-RPG1. That's 412-267-7741. If that's no good, you don't live in the States, you can't afford to make that call, you can always email us. It's a lot cheaper. Our address is thegamesmanrpg@gmail.com. You can send us MP3s instead of phoning. You can just write an email, whatever. Ask us questions. If that seems like too much hassle and use Twitter, we've got a Twitter account. It's @thegamesmanrpg. No new follows this week, so that's nice and easy. Don't forget to answer our hashtag TGMcheck and TGMquests on said social media. Don't forget, we also have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/thegamesmanrpg. No new subscribers there. And we've got a Twitch stream, which we haven't done much with recently, but we'll probably get some stuff up soon.
I've been lazy.
There'll probably be some GTA 5 and some Elite Dangerous coming up, I'm guessing. The address for that is twitch.tv/thegamesmanrpg, and no new people on that. And iTunes reviews, we haven't had any for ages, so someone write one, please, and let us know so that if it doesn't show up, we can, I don't know, shout at Apple.
Yeah, it's not my fault. I reviewed 2 years ago.
Yeah, you can always make another account.
I could, I suppose.
Just make another 20 and just send a bunch of
them. Teflon121.
Yep. Well, I think that's about it. I need to go to bed. I've got some guy turning up in a few hours to tell me that I'm mental. So
yes. Now Gary says that will do it for the episode hashtag. So on behalf of X, Y, and I am Z, right? That's how it works?
Yes.
I don't know, I just wanted to make that joke. I'm sorry. I don't have to fucking impress you.
Dan came up with it, so... but yeah. That'll do it for episode 6-7. On behalf of Dan, Harley Dan, and Jason, Teflon 12, I am Amaris. We are the Gamesmen. Until next time, we ask...
What role will you play? Hello, everybody. Episode 67 of The Gamesman. I am Teflon 12. I am your host, and I have hijacked this podcast. In the corner, tied up and gagged, is Gary Amherst 89 Lever. Try to say something to the. And in the. That's enough, Gary. In the other corner, we have Harley Dan Natman. Try to speak through your ball gag, sir.
Good evening, sir.
Damn it, I'm not how to take it out, apparently.
Guess who D-need himself out of the restraints I've given to him. Excuse me for a second.
I given to him. I guess he just never put him on.
The FedEx guy hasn't turned up yet, so.
Yeah, he said it a little bit too late.
On a podcast, so I could hijack it just like that.
Greetings, guys, gone guilt. Fuck me. Just ran everything good. Greetings, guys, gals. I can't say it today. Got a big smile on my face.
Would you like me to do it again?
Apparently.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
This is only the second podcast I've ever been on.
Yay. We're the best, though. So.
It's my favorite podcast.
Yay. It's recorded so everyone knows.
It's a Dan sultry voice.
No, fuck, it's not me. I have a feeling Dan got really close to the mic when he did that.
I moved it and it made a clicking noise. Yeah, you can have as many Blue Yetis as you want, Gary, but yeah, you're never going to sound as good.
And I gotta pee so bad. Like I had to pee at the beginning of the podcast, and I was like, I can hold it, and now I'm crying.
I'm going to have a cigarette, make a cup of tea, and I'll be back in a bit as well.
Yep. All right, fine. I'm going to go have a cigarette, make a cup of tea, and then I'll be back.
Cool.
So, all right. I can not feel left out like I'm not doing anything.
Okay.
If not fully satisfied with this podcast, please return any portions for a full refund.